I was thinking, when you think about this, and Corinthians, when he's talking about the judgment seat of Christ, we're not going to stand before him according to our size, but our sort. And what I mean by this, what sort of people we were that let God use us. It's not the size, it's the sort. Now, I want to read a very familiar portion of Scripture. And I just preached this message. Last Sunday, I was in Gatlinburg. We met our daughter who lives in Kentucky, came down, and I went to a pastor friend of mine. And I try to go in late because I love to hear him preach. So I told my wife, I said, what time do they start? Well, on Sunday night, she said, I think they start at 15 to 6. And so we got there at 15 to 6. I didn't want to be late, but they didn't want to be early. Well, they didn't start till 6. So anyway, Brother Ed was up. If you ever go to Pigeon Forge, go to Freedom Baptist Church. That's a good church. How many of us have gone to Pigeon Forge before? It's a long way to go, okay? I mean, you've got to have a hankering to go there, all right? But anyway, but if you ever do go there, look up Freedom Baptist Church, Brother Ed Parton. And we went to his service Sunday night, and he got up there, and you never know what he's going to do. And he said, well, we're glad Brother John is here. He's going to come and preach. Well, I hadn't planned. I'd been thinking about what I was going to preach here. So I got up there. I said, well, I'm glad I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach tonight what I'm going to preach next Sunday morning, so I'm going to try it out on you. If it don't work, if you get up and leave, I'll not do that. But anyway, so I want you to stand with me as we read verses 1 through verse 11. And again, I'm talking to you why every New Testament local church must be involved in world missions. I'm probably going to preach this at our church when I get back. In February, we have our mission conference. Some of us were there last year when we had the conference and had transition period. Pastor White took over the senior pastor, and I stepped down. But I'm mission pastor, so he's asked me to conduct the mission conferences and our Bible conferences. And so I'll be preaching when I get back. And so I'll preach this message. If it works good on you all, then I'll try it on them. No, I'm teasing. But it is the Word of God. And you're all involved in missions. I'm not going to say anything that you haven't heard. But I hope it's just an encouragement time. Now listen as I begin reading. In verse 1 of Acts chapter 1. The former treatises have I made of thee, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, was given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passions by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they were therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast toward the heavens, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into the heavens. Father, we thank you this morning for just the privilege of calling thee our Father and being in this local church. And Lord, no longer we've known this local church. We know, Lord, their vision and their burden to fulfill the Great Commission and walk obedience to our Lord and Savior and taking the gospel to the world. Thank you for the privilege of being here. May we just encourage and be a blessing. May you be honored. May you be the one that's lifted up in our sessions together as we look into thy word. And we'll thank you for it, for we ask and pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you now, and you can be seated. Why are we here? What is our purpose? What is our mission? If you go into many companies, they'll always have a mission statement. And, I We ought to have a mission statement for our church. What would be our mission statement? You may have one. And what do you suppose it should be? Well, I think it's simple. Our mission is to reach a lost world with the saving message of Jesus Christ and the power of the gospel that can transform lives. That should be our mission statement. It's so vital that we stay focused on the Great Commission. Now, local churches have different ministries. Our ministry in Puerto Rico, God has entrusted it with a Christian day school. But our focus is on missions. Every classroom has a missionary that they take up offerings and go to chapel every week, and they take that offering. They pray for that missionary every morning, all the way through everything. Our visitation program. Now, I don't have time to go into it, but Puerto Rico is predominantly Catholic. Most of the houses, now they're closed communities, but most of the houses, we first went there, everybody had rejas on their windows and their doors, and you had to stand at the street and call out and get somebody's attention. It's very hard to get in the homes. And God has used the Christian day school, I just mentioned this, to get us in the homes. I thought, Lord, how are we going to reach people for you if we can't get in the homes and sit down and talk to people? And so most of the time they'd say, who is it? And you tell them who you are. They'll say, well, leave the literature in the gate and you can't get in. And so our teachers visit their students, and we have a purpose and a mission, and that is to give the gospel. And so everything we do, if we're not careful, we can get distracted in what our mission is. But our mission is just simply to give the gospel to the world. And God has chosen, God has ordained, and we'll see this, I hope, through the messages, that He's doing it through the local church. Did you believe, can you believe, and I do, and I'll share this with you why I do, that God has a plan for this local church to do His work through to get the gospel to the world. And we'll see how He'll do that in the next sessions. So the reason for the mission, you'll find it in verse 1. Let me read that again. The former treaty have I made of thee, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now here's Luke, is the writer of the book of Acts. Luke is simply saying, I'm telling you about Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, Luke, he told us about his ministry. Now he's continuing that story. And what he's saying in the book of Acts is really just a continuation of what Jesus began to do in his earthly ministry. He's now continuing to do his work through his local church, which is the body of Christ. Now, I don't think I have to dwell on this and emphasize this, but I don't believe in a universal church. I believe in a local church. And I believe he's doing his work through his local church. God has put gifts inside the local church. I know that now when I remember when I was ordained, and I remember, I answered some questions back then. If they asked me now, I wouldn't answer them that way. They believed in a universal church, and I didn't understand the importance of a local church. But may I say this? The Lord Jesus Christ, everything God is doing, He's doing it through the authority of the local church. That's it. That is the body of Christ. Now, we have a lot of people today are saying, well, it really doesn't matter what you believe. You can believe anything that you want. It really doesn't make any difference. I don't agree with that. Because what you believe will dictate how you behave. And so if you don't believe right, you won't behave right. I'm talking about in Christendom too. And so what you believe determines what you are, and that determines how you behave. So what I want to do it's sad, and I made this statement. Usually I make this statement just about every time I preach. If your philosophy is not based on your theology, you're going to have a humanistic philosophy. And you'd be surprised how many people want to do things for God instead of letting God do things through them. Now, there is a difference. That's not a play on words. A lot of time, and I remember one young lady that was a student at our school, and she came in, and she had all these things she planned to do for God. And I said, there's one thing, there's a problem with that. And she said, what? I said, it's not God doing it through you. You're doing it and asking God to bless it. See, God honors His Word. Somebody said, well, they're doing it in sincerity. Did you know you can be sincerely wrong? Everything we do, we should sift it through the Word of God. I'm sure everybody knows what a sifter is, right? And when you put everything in a sifter and you begin to sift that flour, and what doesn't come through, what do you do with it? You throw it away. You don't try to use it and make it work. It'll ruin what was good. So everything, our ideology, our philosophy, our plans should be sifted through the Word of God. And if it doesn't come through the Word of God, we ought to reject it. This is the final authority. You know, we say that. That sounds simple, doesn't it? That sounds very spiritual, doesn't it? But you'd be surprised how many people say that but don't practice that. And so what I want to do for a few moments, and I'm going to tell you what I believe about the mission and who it's about. I believe it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to presume that you know what I believe, but I want to tell you what I believe about Jesus Christ. And I hope this is what you believe about Jesus Christ. I'll go through this very briefly. I believe that Jesus Christ was a literal person. I believe He was God incarnated in human flesh. I believe He was perfect man, and yet He was perfect God. I believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. I believe everything the Bible said that He did. I believe He performed every miracle that the Bible said He performed. I believe He opened the eyes of the blind. I believe He unstopped the ears of the deaf. I believe He cleansed the leper. I believe that He raised the dead. I believe He fled the multitudes. I believe everything the Bible said He did, He did. I believe everything that He taught, I believe it was absolute truth. Everything you find on the Sermon on the Mount, He taught. He taught about every area of life. He taught that there was a real heaven, and you can go there. He taught there was a real hell, and He doesn't want you to go there. He taught that He is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so, beloved, I believe that He died, just like the Bible said that He died, according to Scripture. He didn't just die. He died according to Scripture. I believe the Bible teaches us that He rose from the dead. Notice again verse 3, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passions of many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I believe that He rose from the dead just like the Bible said He did. I believe that He ascended into heaven and He sit at the right hand of the Father. Notice what it said in verse 9. He said, and when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Wouldn't that be something to see? I mean, He didn't have a space suit on. Can you imagine? He just begins. You said you believe that? Well, the Bible said He did. He didn't zoom out of their sight. The Bible said they stood there and they watched Him. As a matter of fact, I believe that not only did He ascend into heaven, but I believe He's coming back again just like He went. That's what the Bible said. Notice in verse 10. And while they looked steadfast toward the heavens, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into the heaven? Well, would you have been gazing if you'd have been standing there? And all of a sudden He begins to go up. But that point was, why stand you gazing into heaven? For this same Jesus, as you've seen Him go, so shall He come again. I believe He's coming back. So why are we here? Why do we worship? Why do we have missionary conferences? Why do we send missionaries? Why do we give? Why do we give sacrificially? Because we're compelled by the love of Christ and what He did when He died for the sins of the world to take this message to the world. He is the reason for missions. That's it. And that's what's revealed in Acts 1 through 11. He's the reasons for missions. Now let me give you the second thing that I want you to see. Why every New Testament local church must be involved in missions. He's the reason. Jesus is the reason for mission. But I want you to notice the resource for the missions. You find that in verse 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now there's a principle. Now remember this. What is our mission? Jesus is our mission to take him to the world. That's a pretty strong, pretty big mission. So where is the resource for the mission? There's a principle that runs all the way through the Bible, and I think we miss it so many times. And here it is. Every time God gives a mission or a commission, he always gives to a person or someone, he always gives the means to accomplish his commission. Now, let me restate that. You go through Scripture, and every time God gives a mission or a command to someone or for something, he always gives the means to accomplish that. He never gives us something to do without enabling us to do it. Think about this, if you would. Noah wasn't a boat builder. Why did he need a boat? It never rained. Noah was a farmer. Now, what if God had said, now, Noah, I'm going to send a flood, and you need to build a boat. And that's all he said to him. You think Noah would have had to knew how to build that boat? Do you think Noah would have known how to construct it, that it would withstand? And do you think he had within himself the ability to build it? I don't. But God gave him a command. And God gave him the details to how to do it. Noah's responsibility was to obey the word of God. And if he obeyed the word of God to every detail that God gave him with the command, he didn't have to worry about whether that boat afloat or not. You see, that's God's responsibility. God's responsibility is to fulfill his promises. Our responsibility is to obey his command. What about Moses? Moses, God called him to lead the children of Israel and to stand against the most powerful nation on planet Earth at that time. And God called Moses and told him what to do. You know Moses' response. I'm not making fun of anyone, but the Bible says that Moses said, Lord, 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 I'm slow speech. I'm sure I can't do that. You know, that's one thing God wants us to understand. We ought to understand. We can't do that. You see, if we could do it, we don't need God. But see, behind every command and behind every commission, God enables us to do what he's commanded us to do. And you know the story, and I don't have time to go into it. It's a great message to go into, but Moses surrendered to God, what did God do? Well, he had a rod. He had a shepherd's rod, but when we give it to God, it became the rod of God. And you know how that changed things, how the river was turned to blood and all the plagues and everything else. Why did it become the rod of God? Because he gave it and he was obeying and God did use him. What am I saying now, making this application to the church? He said, go ye into all the world. What a command. What a commission. You said, Pastor, you really believe that he wants this local church to go into all the world? Well, that's what he said. Are you a member of this local church? Then God has given the great commission. And I say this, God is looking for churches. It's not the size, it's the sort. You see, He is our resource. And so many times we get bogged down and we come to a point, and I'll bring this out maybe in the next message this morning, that that we look for our sufficiency. Listen, it's not our sufficiency, it's His. He's sufficient. Now, just like He gave Noah a command to build a boat, God enabled him to do it. Just like He gave Moses a command to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, God gave him the ability, and he did it. And so God has given us the Great Commission. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But it didn't stop there. He said, and lo, I'm with you. I will never leave you. What a promise. But you know, promises sometimes are conditional. I think of Philippians 4:19. We claim that many times you hear people say, my God has promised to supply all of my need according to His riches through Christ Jesus. Well, you need to go back and leave that text in the context of who He's talking to. He said, ye Philippians. Now, He's writing to a local church. You know that. I don't have to develop that portion of Scripture. I'm sure you know it. But Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, a local assembly. And he told them, because you sent him, he made a promise. He said, what you did, that offering, that sacrifice, it was well-pleasing unto God and acceptable. And he said, my God shall supply your need. And I believe that is talking to a local church and individuals in that local church. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we know who the reason for the mission is. That's Jesus. We know who the resource is to accomplish the mission that He gave us. That's God. But I want you to notice, last of all, our responsibilities. You know, God is sovereign. We know that. And may I make a statement here? No one can alter the sovereign will of God. His sovereign will be accomplished. But God in His sovereignty has so chose to delegate the responsibility to us to obedience. You say, well, what if I'm not obedient? God's sovereign will not be changed because of our disobedience. You remember what Mordecai told Esther? He said, deliverance will come, if not through you, through another. Now, let me share this with you. We know that God in His sovereignty, God in His very clear and divine plan has chosen to use the local church to get the gospel to the world. He's looking for a local church that believes that God wants to do that through me. But if not through you, another. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss what God wants to do through me. Does that make sense? And I don't believe this local church wants to miss what God wants to do through you. And we don't know what all God will do through us until we start walking in obedience to His revealed revelation. You see, His sovereign will be done. If not through us, through another. But that does bring me to the point that I want to share with you. And beloved, that is that our responsibility to the commission. And that is, we have a responsibility. And I'm not going to go into it, but when you look at in the book of Acts, I'm watching my time, when the preachers begin to preach, and the crowds begin to form, and you get to Acts chapter 3, and you know the story. Peter and John go up to the house of prayer, and there's a man asking for alms. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Now let me interject a little story I heard one time in good application. They said the Pope was talking on this portion of Scripture, and they believe that Peter was the first Pope. And he said, well, he said, the first Pope said, silver and gold have I none. And he said, I don't have to say that. And somebody said, yeah, but can you say take up thy bed and walk? That's pretty good. That's a pretty good point, wasn't it? Neither can he say that. But what I'm saying, the point is, Peter, he went up and he said, now God used that, and great crowds began to form. And people began to get saved. If you're looking in Acts chapter 3, where it said, Peter said in verse 6, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee in the name of Christ, name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he did. And people began to, crowds began to form. And Peter preached the simple gospel. And the Bible said many believed when they heard the word. And people were getting saved. And the Sanhedrin and the religious leaders of their day said, we have to stop this. And you know they had the meeting. And you know they told them they couldn't do that. And you know Peter's response. He said, we've got to obey God, not man. But the interesting thing was, and I think you notice in chapter 4, verse 13, it said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. Now, there's a couple of things I want you to notice about this. This was the elite of religion. They had all of the knowledge and the training and all that went with it. And they took notice that these men were unlearned. But they noticed the boldness. Who was enabling them? Who gave them the boldness? You know, we don't have to be intimidated because somebody said, this Jesus crowd, I get tired of hearing about him. No. He'll enable us to do what he's called us to do. They said they're unlearned and ignorant. Now, let me make a statement. God can use ignorant men. I'm proof of that. But he can't use anybody's ignorance. So don't get that turned around. But God used them. Why? They were walking in obedience to what he had commissioned them to do, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last of all, I'm going to give you the responsibility that we have of the mission. You find that in Acts 1, verse 7 and 8. And here's what he says. And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the time and the seasons that the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, and in both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. You've heard this stated, I'm sure, from this pulpit. That word both joins all of it together. He didn't say evangelize Jerusalem and then go into all Judea and then go into Samaria and then go into the world. No, he said at the same time you're a witness in Jerusalem, you need to be a witness in Judea. And at the same time you're witnessing in Judea, I want you to be witnessing in Samaria. And at the same time you're in Samaria, go into all the world. Now, I have a series I preach, and I'm not preaching this here, on why a great church became a late church. The church at Jerusalem did not fulfill Acts 1:8. He scattered them. When you get to Acts 8:1, they're still in Jerusalem. And he scattered them. But when you get to Acts 13, here's a local church that's doing what he said in Acts 1:8. And I have a series I preach on why a great church, and listen, the church at Jerusalem was a great church, but they became a late church because they didn't walk in total obedience to the mission, and that's take Jesus to the world. The resources was available, but they didn't accept that responsibility. And so we have a responsibility to fulfill the great taking the truth to the world. God is looking for a church to do his work through. It is our responsibility. And once we understand that truth, and I hope and I know that you've been taught that, I want to challenge you in this session that what is the mission of the local church? It's to take the person of Christ to the world. That's the mission. And the resources is God doing it through us. He enables us. But the responsibility falls upon us. Now, you don't have to turn, but there's a story in 2 Kings, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, 6 and 7. I think it illustrates this so well. And you, I'm sure you know the story of how Ben-Hadad had surrounded Samaria. And he'd cut off all source of supplies and livelihood. Matter of fact, it was so bad. Famine is a terrible thing. But it was so bad. Let me just read how bad it was. The Bible tells us in 2 Kings chapter 6, and there was in verse 25, and there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass head was sold for 80 pieces of silver. And a fourth part of the calf of doves done for 5 pieces of silver. Now, I've been a lot of places in my life. We've been in the jungles of Venezuela. I didn't ask what we ate. I ate what they put before us. I always pray, Lord, touch it so it don't touch me. I've been in Thailand. They eat dogs there. We've seen truckloads of dogs going up in the Hill Tribe people. And man, when they say we're bringing hot dogs, they really mean it. But I don't know if I've ever been so hungry that I could eat this. But it got worse. In verse 28 of that same chapter, it said in the king, there was two women went to the king, and he said, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we'll eat my son tomorrow." Can your mind have the concept that you would boil your own child and eat it? That's what they were doing. "So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her, the next day, give thy son and we may eat him." And she hid her son. That's how there it was. This is not a storybook. This is reality. Now, you know the story. There was 4 lepers. And I don't know if you've ever seen leprosy. We were in Dominica. There was the only leper colony in the Caribbean was in Dominica. I've seen leprosy. I've been to Thailand. I've seen lepers. I've seen people with their flesh falling off, or their fingers falling off, and their feet, and their eyes have been eating out with this leprosy. It's a terrible, terrible disease. I've seen leprosy. And these 4 lepers, and because there was no cure for it then, they had to stay outside the city. And matter of fact, if anybody came their direction, they had to cry, "Unclean, unclean," so other people would know, because leprosy is contagious. There was 4 lepers. And they got to talking among themselves. They said, "You know what? If we stay here, we're going to die. If we go in Samaria, they're already dying there. So if we go to the Syrian army and they kill us, we but die. But if they have mercy, we'll have something." And they went. You know the story. They went there. And God had caused a troubling and a roaring, and they thought that these Samaritans had hired the Egyptians and other nations to come and fight for them, and in their fear, they left their camp, and everything that they had was there. And man, these lepers went in. They started eating, changing their garments. Everything was great. And then one of them said, "We do not well." This is a day of glad tidings, and we hold our peace. And may I make this application? Thank God you live in a country where you have the gospel. There's people who've never heard what you've heard over and over one time. And we're like the lepers. He give us life. He give us salvation. Now we rejoice in what we have. But if we don't accept our responsibilities, all these lepers could have said, they didn't care where we died, but no, wait a minute. Aren't you glad he cared and didn't leave us in our state? And they said, "We do not well this is a day of good tidings. And they went. Oh, it's a fabulous story to read and understand. So here's what mission is all about. Missions is understanding the reason for the missions. You know who that is. That's Jesus. No other. The resource to take the person to the world is God. He gave us the commission, and He'll enable us to do what He's called us to do. We just have to accept the responsibility and say of old, Lord, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Father, we thank you this morning for the beginning of what I believe you're going to do